Good morning. Welcome to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Gradick, your host. Delighted to have you with us this Monday morning. It's a little somber program this morning, but I think a very important one, that we're going to be talking about the passing of Taylor Jamison Bristow. He was 30 years old, and he passed away, I think it was Friday evening, and real heartbreaking situation for all of those in Carroll County. We're very honored to have in studio Chaplain Keith Giles of the Carroll County Sheriff's Office. And we also have Shane Davis of West Georgia First Responders, West Georgia First, West GA First.org. And gentlemen, I can't imagine anyone not really hearing about this today, but Keith, if you could kind of, assuming that we have somebody in the audience who really doesn't know the story of Investigator Bristow, give us a little quick summary of what happened.
Well, last, I guess it was Tuesday the 23rd, I think it was.
The 20th, I believe, when the incident happened, wasn't it?
Right, yes, you're right, I'm sorry. Had a call out that morning to assist the GBI, the Carroll County Sheriff's Department did, and their investigators and deputies went out to assist with a search warrant in a home here in Carroll County. And during the process of enforcing that warrant, and they encountered the homeowner there, and then it kind of went south from there, and the deputies went into the house. Investigator Taylor went in with them, and that's when the incident took place, when the individual, the homeowner there, took his own life. In the process of taking his own life, he took the life of Taylor Bristow as well.
Tell us a little something about, I mean, it just strikes me, the older I get, that 30 years young is awful young. And tell us a little something about Taylor and father, husband, you know, just a young investigator, sheriff's deputy that had his future ahead of him.
He did, and really it is young. And today, when you get our age and start looking at these guys and ladies that are taking on these responsibilities, they seem to be younger and younger all the time. But Taylor, yes, you had mentioned he was 30 years old. He was a father. He loved his two children and his wife, Lisa, and he was loved by everybody at the sheriff's department as well, from 911 down to the deputies and other investigators there at the sheriff's department. He really loved his job and enthusiastic about his job and his family life as well. I mean, he was like you and I had his hobbies. He loved the sports. He loved the Braves. Loved the Georgia Bulldogs, and those were some of his main things, and his pets as well. But just a great guy all around, and but loved his community and loved serving, and been with the Carroll County Sheriff's Department about 6 years, and was in and just became an investigator not too long ago, and just loved that job. That's what his passion was, mm-hmm. And so was just really appreciated, and you know, put his life on the line every day doing his job.
So when a law enforcement officer loses their life in the line of duty, Shane, it's just got to be incredibly hard on not only the community, but the family, particularly the family. And that's where you kind of come in.
Yes, sir. So, you know, I created this West Georgia First Responders about a year ago. And it's been a labor of love over the last couple of years. But I just realized that in our community, our local community, we didn't really have anything as a blanket organization to really support first responders as a whole. So you want to create something. These incidents that happen are very unfortunate, and you know, and it's just awful things that happen. But in a time of need, you want things, agencies, and really outside the agency. You know, Carrollton's really never had a problem, you know, rallying around people to help them out. We've showed that in the past, especially in shootings, like for law enforcement, like with Rob Holloway. But you want agencies set in place that really can step in and just kind of be a bridge for the family. Kind of help them through to get from the transition period of, you know, from the time the incident happens till the end, whether it be, you know, a fortunate outcome where you pull through, or, you know, unfortunate like this where somebody passes away. But just be there for them and really meet them where they're at different needs that they may have along the way that we can step in and kind of just help them through.
So if someone wants to help out the family, what's the website?
It's westgafirst.org. And on the website, when you go there on the main page in the upper left, it actually there's a tab or a button, a little place we have. It has his name, that's Taylor Bristow, and you can click on that, and it goes directly to the link that's set up for him. So we can that's how we track everything through the website for him.
And we'll mention this a couple of times, but the funeral is set for this Thursday. And let's see, it's at Thursday, August 29th at 2 p.m. in Mount Holly Church on 27 near the interstate. Keith, you'll be officiating.
Yes, I just found out I'll be one of the officiating members.
Clay Patterson, Kim Hope, and Sheriff Terry Langley, of course, will be speaking. Service or visitation is the day before Wednesday from 4 until 8 at Mount Holly Church.
That's correct.
Hightower Funeral Home of Bremen's charge of the arrangements, but the funeral's at 2 p.m. When we see the support of all the fellow officers and other departments, law enforcement communities really one and the same, is it not? I mean, y'all may be different departments, different counties, but I was there Saturday when Taylor is brought home, and you see all kinds of cars from all kinds of different departments.
That's right. You hear about the thin blue line, and it is a family. And it's not just law enforcement, it's first responders in general. And they all come together and as one. And even in this instance, you know, I'm part of the Georgia Sheriff's Association's Chaplains Division, and that's who we're, certified by as the GSA. And we came together. There were six different chaplains that came together last week to do a debriefing, and it's just amazing to see all the communities come together and in these situations to support one another. And that's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
And that's why Shane put this together, you know, to be able to bring people together to support these families. And he's here physically to support them, and we have a side here to support them as well on the spiritual side. So
yeah, and it's good to see like the really community come together, because really when I created this, it was a time during COVID. So especially particularly toward law enforcement, there was a lot of disrespect that was going on that I had never seen before. And it was really disheartening, you
right.
know, to see that. And, you know, so when you create this, you know, for help, and then something like this does happen, and you do see, hey, the people in the community come together, it really makes you think, hey, maybe we're turning a corner. Maybe we're getting back to some normalcy, number one. But it just, you know, without law enforcement, we can't operate how we really want to as what we think about being American. You know, we need them. We need all of our first responders, but particularly our law enforcement, because that's law and order, and we need
right.
that.
Our guests this morning, Chaplain Keith Giles of Carroll County Sheriff's Office, Shane Davis of West Georgia First Responders. We'll be back with more after this.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
The AP Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined advanced placement curriculum track to earn a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically prepared students to pursue college-level studies throughout 17 AP courses in 5 subject categories while enrolled at OMA. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Graddick, your host. Delighted to have you with us this morning. We're taking a moment this morning to, of course, to remember the life of Taylor Bristow, who passed away after being shot in the line of service and in the line of duty. And even this Friday, past Friday, Paulding County Sheriff's Deputy Brandon Cunningham, who, like Investigator Bristow, was only 30 years old, he was laid to rest after he had been ambushed responding to a domestic call the previous weekend. Just if both of y'all would speak to a moment, I think we, as a society, and Shane was kind of talking about this, don't really properly evaluate the dangers that these young men are, and women are putting in their lives into when they go out, like on a domestic call or a warrant or whatever. And I remember, you know, Billy Giles died in line of duty back in 2002. You never know what you're walking into. I mean, it's just, this thing is more dangerous than people realize.
Yeah, it's very, you know, very dangerous. And the domestic situations are usually the most dangerous.
The most dangerous, yeah.
Because they're, you know, you don't know what you're getting into, and you don't know the situation behind all of it, and you know, the mental issues and you know, abuse issues. You have no idea what you're walking into.
And also the intensity, because with their charges, you know, when you get charged with like a battery family violence,
right?
Okay, they make you see a judge to get your bond set as like a cooling off period, because it's usually, you know, if you just go get a battery charge, you can get out, you can bond right out. But
right.
That they make you cool off and see a judge and do that. So because, like you said, those are the most intense.
Right.
But do you agree that we, as the population at large, I mean, you know, I guess when you get up in the morning and you say goodbye to the family, you don't know for sure that you'll be back home that day.
No, you don't. And, you know, as far as what the first responders do, the law enforcement in general, a lot of people do overlook it until you need them. You know, because we've had it really so good for so long, because, you know, the crime's not really that high around here either, that I think we do take it for granted a lot of times until we actually need law enforcement.
Right.
And, you know, when you do call them, you want them to be there. And you want, you know, good people to show up. And when you have incidences like this that happen, sometimes, it's scary. And sometimes it may push people away from
right.
being law enforcement. And, you know, you just pray that that doesn't happen. And you pray that these instances are limited, because if it starts getting rampant, then we're in trouble, you know, as far as, like, getting good people that want to be law enforcement.
You mentioned COVID earlier, but the riots of 2020 really demoralized a lot of officers, and we had the defund the police movement. Have we recovered fully from that?
I personally don't think you have. I think it's still really hard to get good recruits coming in for law enforcement, and especially all the way around, whether it be the jail officers or, you know, actually officers out on the street. It's hard to get.
Yeah, that's, like I said, I go back to when creating this, when I was thinking about things to do to, you know, further the kingdom. What kind of nonprofit could I do? Well, it hit. Well, then, you know, I'm a bail bondsman in my normal occupation. I'm down at the jail signing bonds or whatever, and the jail staffing was, I mean, people were leaving. It was just awful on them. They were having, you know, just a terrible time trying to operate, because people just didn't want to be law enforcement during that time. And that's what triggered, hey, they need some help. They need somebody that can support them. That's really what pushed me into that, the despair that they were feeling. I was seeing that I was experiencing trying to work with them to get people out. And, you know, I'm like Mr. Giles said, you know, I don't think we fully recovered. I'm not sure, you know, if that's going to be ever the way it was. Not sure. But, you know, it has gotten back to be a little bit, I know, as far as the jail staffing. But then again, if, like I said, we go back, if things happen like this, then that sets us back a little bit more.
All right.
You can't really talk about this. You talk about the dangers and the pay, and it's like a lot of jobs, quote unquote, out there where there's some people that don't respect you or abuse you or that type of thing. So I'm going to put this first to Chaplain Giles and quote this. And the question is, isn't it really more of a calling than a job? And Romans 13:4 says, "For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer." Is it not really more of a calling than it is just a job and a career?
It is, and that's why a lot of people get in and can't get out, because it's their calling. And sometimes that's scary, but, you know, even I think it's in Matthew 5:9, it says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, and for they shall be the children of God." And our law enforcement are our peacemakers, and they're the peacekeepers, and they're there to make the peace. And as Shane has already said earlier, if we didn't have those, you know, where would we be? Right. Mm-hmm. And so the greatest thing that we can do, and that's one of the reasons I think we have the chaplains program there, is to bring a sense of reality there, because these guys are facing things that we can't even imagine every day, 24 hours a day. And, you know, just to be part of that, I have the last 23 years been part of it here in Carroll County, and to see what these guys go through, guys and girls go through, and it could be horrifying. I mean, there's joys, of course, and there's times of pleasure and all those things, but then there's times of despair like we see now.
Right. Well, it's more than just the physical, too, because I was told by an officer one time, you know, you get a call, you go to a call to domestic, you don't know what you're going into, you stop a vehicle, you don't really know who's driving that vehicle.
Right.
And so you get this adrenaline rush. And so there's a lot of mental and or physical aspects to this that make it very hard to carry on a normal family life.
Well, I feel like you mentioned, you know, the calling. You know, I think we're all called to spread the gospel. Right. I don't think all people are called to be first responders. No. Those are anointed by God.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because
you need a certain type of personality and a certain type of person that's going to be brave enough to go in on that warrant. You know, and that's not for everybody. And so those guys, you know, not everybody can spread the gospel, and we're supposed to, but we're not all called to be first responders. And that's why it's so important to really help them, protect them, to nurture what, you know, our protection, because we need them. You know, you don't want bad people being first responders.
In your work as a chaplain, I guess you've seen all kinds of issues associated with the stress of being law enforcement.
Right, and the Georgia Sheriff's Association has done a great job over the last, I think it's 30 years the program's begun, as they begin certifying chaplains. But, you know, we're there as chaplains, and a lot of people don't realize this, but just not only for the Sheriff's Department, but for the community as well, but to provide spiritual counseling. We do, I guess the biggest thing we're known for is the death notifications, which is the most horrific thing that we do, and whether it be an officer or whether it be some family member in the community. But the post-shooting counseling, the disaster response teams, relationships, dealing with officers and their relationships, weddings, funerals, you know, post-traumatic stress stuff, and counseling, crisis support. And those guys go through that, and they need somebody there that knows what they go through, not an outsider that they, because that's another thing is trust, and law enforcement is trust.
Oh, I'll tell you that when I first started this foundation, I didn't realize that, you know, and what I realized was in the first responder community, it's hard sometimes for them to accept assistance, especially from an outsider.
Right.
So you have to earn the trust of the agencies to get in and say, hey, you know, this is a good thing for us. And then when they allow you in and you're seen as something good for them, then you're accepted, because, as you know, it's a very close-knit group.
Right.
And so that's what I learned when I first started. Then it really is much, you know, credibility. It ain't just getting your name out there with the media or whatever. It's getting your credibility with the agencies, because then at that point they can, you know, identify needs within their agency and then hook you up with them.
All right.
Yeah.
I failed to mention we're on Facebook Live this morning if you'd like to watch us there. And we're going to take another break, and we'll be back in a moment. With more with Shane Davis, West Georgia First Responders, westgafirst.org, and Chaplain Keith Giles of the Carroll County Sheriff's Office. We'll be back after this.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
The customized academic scholar journey at Oak Mountain Academy is individually designed to provide students with a personalized, clearly defined academic track that earns the student a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically driven students to pursue a focused, rigorous course of study personalized to their wants and desires. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Graddick, your host. Delighted to have you with us this morning as we take a moment to recognize the passing of Taylor Jameson Bristow, who lost his life in the line of service. We're on Facebook Live. I'd like to read a little post here from Kaylin Pruitt. Thank you all for what you're doing. He deserves to be recognized and honored and to have these hard conversations and to remind the community of the true risk of that the law enforcement officer takes. Thank you, gentlemen, for your work and for your informative conversation. Let's mention again about the funeral is upcoming. Visitation is this Wednesday from 4 to 8 at Mount Holly Church there on Highway 78, just below I-20, just above Bowden Junction. Hightower Funeral Home of Bremen's in charge of the arrangements. And then the funeral is August 29th, this Thursday at 2 p.m., Mount Holly Church. We'll have Clay Patterson, Kim Pope, Sheriff Terry Langley, of course, and Chaplain Keith Giles will be officiating. Keith, when you're tasked with officiating a funeral of this nature, what are some of the thoughts that go through your mind?
What can you say to bless the family? Or, you know, we have no words within ourselves to make any change, to make any difference. And as a pastor and as a minister, that's one of the first things you have to recognize. You don't have all the answers. And in these situations, you really have no answers. And only God and God's word has that. And so that's the relief that you have. And so you're just looking for, you know, to be able to offer some peace and some hope through the words of the Lord, and just allow His Spirit to be there to comfort the family.
That's not easy.
No, it's not easy at all.
Not easy. Shane, tell us a little more now. If people go to your website and a place to donate, how are you? What's the logistics, or how are you going about doing this and supporting the family through your work?
Okay, so in this situation, you know, currently, like I said, I don't know the family personally, so I got reached out to by the sheriff's office and said, hey, you know, we use you as the official donating platform, because you usually got so many going on. You have a lot of GoFundMes going on all the time. And with us, you know, it's really money in, money out. We track it, and we don't take anything out of it, and we set it aside. And then eventually we'll meet with the family, probably, you know, I would imagine, have a meeting set up with them, you know, after the funeral at some point, a week or so, just something after the dust settles a little bit, and just try to meet them where they're at, okay? And then, you know, it could be anything from mortgage assistance, car payments, I mean, whatever. You know, just really try not to back myself into against a wall to say, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. You know, it's different for every family. So I was asked to set this up, and we had to do it relatively pretty fast. So we kind of set the QR code up first, and then the donating, and then we're kind of building a website around it.
Right.
So hopefully, I'm thinking, you know, maybe I'm going to leave this up for a little while. I mean, maybe up until Christmas, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, have it through the end of the year. And if they need something before then we'll help them out and do this and that. But maybe just kind of set it up through the end of the year, and then kind of go from there. So far, we've raised about $35,000 in a relatively short amount of time.
Right.
So I'm sure that that'll go up probably pretty substantially here in the next week or two also.
That's amazing. That's great.
I read here that 6 Georgia law enforcement officers have died while on the job this year. Both Cunningham, who we mentioned earlier from Paulding County and Bristow, were shot. The other 4 officers were killed in vehicle crashes. When these officers are laid to rest or their bodies return home, et cetera, you see these mile after mile, it seems like, of law enforcement vehicles in a procession. When y'all see those type processions, what do y'all think?
Go ahead. One of the things that really touches me is the society that we live in today. And if you don't know, we have an enemy, and we all have the same enemy. And he uses manipulation and misinformation to deter you and to basically bring you to a place of no hope. And when you listen to the mainstream media and stuff today, you would think that everybody in the world dislikes law enforcement and that, you know, law enforcement or first responders are no good. But they're our lifeline. Yep. And I think you really see that when you see the bands of people that line up beside the road, and you see the convoys and the bridges, and you see the convoys for bringing these heroes home and to be laid to rest, because they truly are heroes. And, you know, you mentioned early, I believe it is a calling. And just as I felt it was a calling with me to be in law enforcement the way that I am, you know, as a child or earlier, that's what I desired to do was law enforcement, and it never worked out. Then years later, you know, God gives you the desires of your heart. So it may not be the way you want it.
That's funny. I had the same way. When I was younger, I wanted to, and then I had self-destructive ways growing up. Right. Kind of put me in a different path there for a little while and found my way back being a bondsman to be there. And I do a lot of backside stuff being a bondsman, share the gospel, help people get in rehabs and stuff like that. So I kind of had that backdoor entrance into that way too.
Right. But I think it's a misnomer that there's more people out there that love and appreciate law enforcement and first responders than what everybody would like you to believe. So it gives me hope.
It does. It's very heart-wrenching, too. It brings a tear to you when you see those processions and you see the solidarity of, like you talked about, the other agencies joining in and coming together. And there's, in the middle of an unfortunate, just terrible tragedy, when you see things like that, it just brings, like you said, hope. You know, it brings hope to you.
Let's just simply wrap it up by going over the funeral arrangements once again. 30-year-old Taylor Jameson Bristow of Bremen, he passed away August 23rd. His survivors include his wife, Melissa Bristow, his children, Noah Brock and Bella Brock. And, of course, our condolences go out to the entire family. The funeral services for Taylor Bristow will be this Thursday at 2 p.m., August 29th at Mount Holly Church. Clay Patterson, Kim Hope, Sheriff Terry Langley, and Chaplain Keith Giles officiating. Visitation is Wednesday, August 28th from 4 p.m. until 8 p.m. also at Mount Holly. Hightower Funeral Home of Bremen has charger arrangements, and I understand that there's a memorial in front of the Sheriff's Office with flowers, et cetera, that people can contribute to in the sense of, you know, building up their memorial, correct?
Yes, that's correct. And it's started out the first of the week, just or Friday, I guess it was, or Saturday morning, I'm sorry, with just the car. Now there's flowers and all kinds of stuff there. So, yes, it's a memorial you can come participate in.
Our gratitude to Keith Giles and Shane Davis for being our guests this morning. It's West Georgia First, westgafirst.org for West Georgia First Responders, westgafirst.org. Thanks for listening. Go out and make it a great day. You're in tune to WLBB Carrollton.